Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis. Coming to you from Tehran, I'm Marzi Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, almost a year and a half into its revolution, Bahrainis continue to take to the streets, calling for the end to the Al Khalifa regime. And the regime continues with its brutal crackdown, continuing arrests and oppressive tactics when dealing with demonstrators. And a year and a half later, the Western supporters of Manama continue to look the other way as people in Bahrain continue to die.
More and more protests against the regime of King Hamad in the small Persian Gulf kingdom of Bahrain. No change in the slogans against the regime. The people want it to be toppled. As demonstrations across Bahrain continue, the regime has devised new methods to put out the more than a year-long uprising. Darkness gangs, that's an epithet used to refer to the regime agents who raid the homes of activists and protesters in the dark hours of the night. They ransack houses and steal people's money and personal property. The aim is to intimidate them into silence. The shock and awe tactic is being used months after an inquiry known as the Bassiouni Report blamed regime forces for using excessive force against the people. The crackdown has left large numbers of people dead. Many more have been put behind bars and tortured in custody. The Bahraini regime has also sacked a large number of state employees, as well as medical staff, including physicians and nurses, on suspicions of supporting the revolution. Saudi Arabia has been helping Manama crush the revolution since it sent its army into Bahrain last year. Western states, including the US, have chosen to remain silent on the suppression since the uprising began in mid-February 2011. However, the US Congress is going to hold a hearing on the Bassiouni report and whether the Bahraini regime has implemented suggestions made in that report. Washington considers Bahrain, home to its 5th naval fleet, a key ally in the Persian Gulf region.
Bahrain is a valued ally of the United States. We partner on many important...
Well, I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Let's start off in London with Bahraini political activist, Mr. Jafar al-Hassabi. And from Beirut, political analyst, Mr. Ibrahim Mousavi. Thank you both for being with us. I'd like to start off in London with Mr. al-Hassabi. Now, there are many activists along with demonstrators in jail, and many of them are claiming that they have been tortured. Which international body should be pursuing these claims, and what exactly is being done for these people?
Well, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What we hear, what we are hearing just from the international community is just the organization of a human rights organization. But from the governments, we don't hear anything which is they supposed to be more clear what is about what is happening in Bahrain right now and what and. Every day there is facts. People, they are facts from, let's say, last week from Al-Wafaq party. They said 270 attack just in 2 months for against the Bahraini people houses and more than 10 million being stolen from the houses and the torture is every day taking place in Bahrain and in front of the international community and also they are every time the government of Bahrain misleading the international community by making a very bad written drama showing the international community that the people are making, let's say, they found 5 tons of explosion materials and they have found 1,500 people being trained in Iraq and so. These fake information to the international community just to say that there is the Bahraini people, they are not peaceful people, and they are trying to make, let's say, to use arms, and they are using explosions.
Michelle Hassabi, let me just jump in here, because you're saying as far as the picture that they're trying to create for the international community. But isn't it true that if the international community really wanted to know what is going on in Bahrain, that there are ways that they would know, that they could be there on the ground, that they could see for themselves exactly what is happening?
Well, what we see is more support and from America and Britain, and for small things they couldn't even bar the Prince Nasser who came for the athletes here, for the Olympics here. He is in Britain now, and he committed a crime against our people in Bahrain, and there are many victims saying clearly that he is involved in torturing them, and they are victims of them. And this is what they didn't ban him. They didn't.
Okay. All right. Well, sorry to interrupt you, but let me switch to Beirut and get our other guest on this discussion, Mr. Mousavi. Mr. Mousavi, now mainstream media is really, they're not pointing their camera lens in the direction of Bahrain. But on the other hand, we see that they're in full zoom focus when it comes to Syria. What's the difference? Why do we see a vast difference in the way various countries are being covered?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's very evident for everyone who watches what's really going on in the region that there is a kind of evident and clear double standards led by the Western governments and by the international, so-called international community. I would urge everybody to make reservation while using this abbreviation or this terminology, the international community, because it does not represent those who we consider the international community. They do not represent the international community. Now, what's happening, for example, they are focusing and zooming on Syria, not in Bahrain, simply because the Western governments, the United States of America, Britain, the powerful capitals in the West, they support the Bahraini regime, and the Bahraini regime is their ally. That's why they are turning a blind eye. It's not only that they are turning a blind eye. I would say that the Western governments, along with the United States of America, are responsible. They are equally responsible, and they share the responsibility for all the suffering, the brutalities, the torture that's happening to the Bahrain. This is a very vivid and clear and stark example about the inconsistency, the double standards, and the hypocrisy of the Western governments. And when we talk, excuse me, just to notify about what my colleague said from London, Mr. Jaafar. Mm-hmm. It's not true that the Bahraini government is misleading the international community. This so-called international community, and we mean by it United States of America, Britain and France and the Western governments, all those who follow the same axis, they know in details what is happening there. They have their embassies there. They could send, just like what you said, they can send any envoy, they can send any delegation to see what's really happening there. They know for sure what's really going on, but it's very evident petroleum oil is more important to them than the blood of the Bahraini people.
Well, Bahrain, Mr. Mousavi, you said international community. You said so-called international community. But let's look at...
I understand what you're saying.
But when we look at it, we look at the inundation by the Western media, the airwaves, and how lots of times even images are created in dealing with certain countries, and then images are never shown and others. And so many people seem to be influenced by what you call the so-called international community. What is the answer then? What is the answer in order to get the truth to be shown, that people all over the world realize the suffering that is taking place on the ground in Bahrain?
I would urge that we have to find a way in order to inform the public opinion, the international community. When we mean the governments, they have their tools, they have their mechanisms, they have their embassies, they have their consulates, they have their delegations, and they know very well what's happening. Maybe the public, the people, the lay people, the average people, they don't know much about what's really happening. They are being spoon-fed by this bombardment of the media, misleading them in Syria, in Bahrain, in Palestine, in different places. We know about it very well. We have to be creative as to form our own alternative media. Our people who are outside, the ambassadors who have a sympathy towards the cause of the Bahrainis, the journalists, the students, we have to go into the internet, into the alternative media in order to make this word spread all over. But still, I want to say that when we are strong enough as people who are fighting the repressive regimes, we will be able one way or another to find a way in order to make the message reach. Otherwise, if we are going to depend on the media, we know that this is a hostile, this is an quote-unquote, these are communities and governments who have put themselves in the shoes of our enemies, and they deal with us as if we are their enemies. That's why they want to gag the mouth. They don't want the word to reach in any way.
Okay.
And we have to find a way in order to reach.
All right, well, Mr. Al-Hazabi, let's look at the role of Saudi Arabia in all this. We know that Saudi Arabia sent troops and equipment into Bahrain and that their backed troops are involved in the brutal crackdown on the Bahraini people. If Saudi Arabia had not gotten involved in this situation in Bahrain, do you think that the regime in Manama would have still been able to suppress the protesters for this long?
Well, we knew from after 14th of February that the Bahraini government has fallen from. They have lost all the power in Bahrain, but because of the Saudi army and because of the support from America and Britain, they stood back again against our people. But we also know that the shaky situation in Saudi Arabia will not allow her to crack down more the situation in Bahrain, because the shaky situation in Saudi Arabia will let her suffer from the situation inside Saudi Arabia. And for how long we don't know, but the good things with us or for the Bahraini people, they are continuing what they are doing, and they are not afraid anymore from what is happening regionally or internationally.
Okay.
Because they have to focus on what they are doing, and with the continue with what they doing, we will succeed.
Mr. Mousavi, on the same line that I was asking the guests in London and talking about Saudi Arabia's role, how responsible do you think the Saudi regime is for what is happening in general right now in Bahrain?
Well, the moment they have taken the decision to
Mr. Mousavi, go ahead, please.
Excuse me. The moment they have taken the decision to interfere and to go into Bahrain, this is a turning point, actually. They share a full responsibility with the Bahraini regime about all the actions taken against the Bahraini people. But I will tell you one simple thing, actually. When we have this kind of genuine steadfastness by the Bahraini people, when we have this resolve, this determination, this continuation of the struggle against the repressive, coercive regime of the Bahrain, when they are continuing their peaceful demonstrations and they insist to be peaceful, and when the system itself, the government, tries to depict it as unpeaceful and they want to distort the image of the Bahraini revolution, this is something that would tell you exactly how afraid they are and the kind of fear, the extent of fear that they suffer from the Bahraini revolution. I believe it's a matter of time only when they all will subdue, when they all will surrender to the resolve and the determination. The people in Bahrain have to be continue their patience, to continue their perseverance, and I'm sure that the victory and the triumph will be their fate and their destiny, no matter how much of a brutality the government of Bahrain would exercise against them.
Okay, well, Mr. Al-Hassabi, let's look at the security crackdown in general taking place in Bahrain. Now, we know the leading security people right now is actually a British individual and American former policeman who've taken over security details in Bahrain. How responsible would you say that these individuals really are for what is happening? One is former police chief of London, John Yates, and the other, police chief of Philadelphia and Miami in the United States, Mr. John Timoney. How responsible would you say that they are? Do you think that the security forces are taking their cues from them?
Well, yesterday the Times said it clearly that the support from the Britain and America, either with sending their expertise, let's say, to crack down the demonstration and to suppress our people. And yesterday the Times said it clearly that the torture is continuing. So what experience he brought with him, John Yates? He's been accused in this country as one of the corrupt person is using his power to do a corrupt, let's say, influence to his department. So they sent these people just to suppress more our people, to crack down our people, and to try killing more people of Bahrain. So this is what they do. They are we know that America and Britain are participating in a very brutal and bad game in Bahrain. And okay. What is happening is showing clearly to the international community should know that Britain and America, they are carrying blood in their hands of our Bahrain people.
Let me turn back to Beirut. Mr. Mousavi, what exactly does that mean? As our guest in London has talked about Yates, that he was accused of corruption back in the UK, but then seems rewarded by the Bahraini regime, brought to Manama, and now spearheading, it seems, this crackdown. What type of respect does that say that the West in general has for the Bahraini people when someone was accused of such negative actions in their own country and yet now is heading the security force in Bahrain?
Well, again and again, I mean, we are revolving over the same point. We have not to pin any hope, not to bank on any engagement, positive one, with the Western governments. We're talking about hypocrites. We're talking about double standards policies. We're talking about inconsistency. We're talking about disintegrity. What do we expect from them? It's the same that applies to Israel, for example. I mean, we all know when they talk about the judiciary. For example, in Britain, they said they are trying to make certain amendments for judiciary rules so they will not go after the Israeli leaders. It's the same everywhere. And when it comes to their interests is number one, and the people and their blood and their rights. It's if we believe this so-called Western democracy and they care for the human rights, okay, and they care for the people, then we are misled.
All right.
It's
let me jump in
they
here because I want to jump over to Quebec. We're joined by another guest, a specialist in international affairs, Mr. Kenneth Fernandez. Thank you so much for being with us. Your take on the situation in Bahrain, what we were talking about, was actually now that a British individual, former police chief, Oh, I guess we have lost that individual, unfortunately. Let me switch back to London then. Now, looking at the whole frame of things at this point in time, when we have the situation with a British individual heading the security detail over there, shouldn't then London be putting pressure or Washington be putting pressure, because an American is also part of that security team, on their own nationals if they really want to make a difference as far as in the violence on the ground and put pressure on the security detail? Why aren't they putting pressure on their own nationals?
In Britain and also the in America as well, we trying to put pressure on the government of Britain, let's say, to try to at least eliminate their act in Bahrain. But it seems that the media and the double standard which is carrying on Britain and America is, making all the works against or to is so limited, and it's not doing any huge work. But we will try, and we will try to reach all the organization, the media, as just to make it clear for the British people that the government of Britain, what they are doing is wrong, and they are not with the Bahraini people, and it will be fired back against them, like what has happened in Iran after the revolution. Now the American been they've been with Shah, and now they lost Iran, and they lost the sharing and participating with Iran policy.
Okay.
This would be the same.
All right, let me jump in almost and just about the end of the program. Mr. Mousavi, Mr. Hassabi said that perhaps they will lose, the United States will lose Bahrain as they lost Iran. But in the meantime, what will it take for the Bahraini human rights protesters to reach their goal, which is basically human rights, one person, one vote, and to have a say in the direction of their country?
They have to continue their determination. They have to be as much as determined and have the same resolve as they did since the beginning of this revolution. And I believe it's not a matter. I have unshakable conviction that things are going to end and boil down to the interest of the Bahraini people. It is something that Allah has promised all the believers, that if they continue, persevere in the path of Allah, they are going to win and they are going to get their victory. It's a matter of patience and perseverance and determination, and all things are going to come to their interest. They have only to continue and to continue relying on Allah and on their own fists and their own patience and their own determination.
And on that note, I'd like to thank our guest from London, Bahraini political activist Mr. Jafar Al-Hassabi, and from Beirut political activist Mr. Abraham Mousavi. Thank you both for being with us, and viewers, thank you for joining us for another look at one of the top stories today. And join us same time, same place tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing off for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thank you so much for being with us, and goodbye.